Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Book Talk with Lawrence J. King. From coast to coast, across the nation, Lawrence is an internationally known six-time published author. Book Talk highlights published authors from the local, regional, national, and international scene, as well as showcasing musicians and people of interest in a positive and productive way. Give a rockin' warm welcome to your host, Lawrence J. King.
All right. This is Lawrence J. King in the house, your host at Book Talk Radio. And today it is my privilege and honor to welcome an outstanding individual. Her name is Rahima Warren. She has several books out there. Today we'll be talking to her about the Starseer's Prophecy Trilogy. And so without further ado, I will bring her onto the show so we can get into this subject matter. Hello, Rahima. Welcome to Book Talk Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for being my guest today. Yes, we have several interesting topics to talk about. But before we get started, give the listening audience a little bit of your background information. You have a master's degree and things like that, I believe.
Yes, right. Well, I have actually got three master's degrees, one in sociology, one in clinical psychology, and one in transpersonal psychology. And I was a therapist for 20 years and retired in 2006 because I had this trilogy to write. And so I started working on that in about 2000. But I never planned to write any such thing. It was just something that came through to me that kind of felt like an assignment. And
wow.
I do understand
that.
Yeah. In one sense, it feels like that the main character, Kier, his name is, excuse me a second, was waiting around for me to be able to write his story. And finally, I was ready. And so I wrote him a little short story in my journal, thinking maybe he'd go away, stop bothering me. It was a big mistake because that just sort of opened the floodgates and this huge story poured through. And it was so much fun. I kept writing and writing, and it was the only way for me to find out what happened next. So
Certainly. Yeah, it's kind of myself. A friend of mine, he's a journalist, but he couldn't get anything published. And so my first book was called What the Hell Were You Thinking? It's about all the articles and things that I had published across the country. Everything I launched to the media, they published it. So that's why I started my first book, and now I'm a 10-time published author. And so to what we're doing, we'll be talking about three of your books today, but in specific, more so the Starseer's Prophecy Trilogy. So tell us, Rahima, tell our listeners about the writing process of your writing this actual story.
Okay, well, as I was saying, it was like receiving. It just was coming through, and I didn't know where it was going or what was going to happen next. But there was a lot of passionate creative energy for it, and it was so much fun that I just kept writing. Every chance I got in between the rest of my life, I was never planning on being an author or writing a big, long story like this. So I just kept writing for about 3 years, and every chance I got, and it was just great fun. And at the same time, it was kind of scary because the story starts out pretty dark, and it's about the main character Kier's journey from being totally enslaved to an evil sorcerer and knowing nothing but evil and pain, and how he escapes from that, and how he has to start learning from scratch what it means to be a real human being. Like, he had no idea what kindness was or friendship or love. So the whole story is about how he heals from the abuse and pain he suffered and inflicted as a minion of this evil sorcerer, and how he becomes a huge, kind human being and caring for other people and eventually learning to forgive himself and go on more adventures from there till the conclusion, which I don't want to reveal because that would be a spoiler. But so that's how it went. And I just wrote for 3 years. And when I got to the end of it, I said, oh, that's what it's about, and decided to, you know, revise it. And after about the second draft, I thought, ooh, I need help. So, 'cause it was basically three books in one story. And because it was such a long story, it turned into three books, which is why I call it a trilogy. And so then I found a really good editor and worked through it, you know, many more times to polish it up and get it in really good shape. And eventually we published it. I think the first book was in 2011. And then the third book was just published January 31st this year, last year. Yeah, 2018. So it took a long time, but, you know, I think it's, you know, a fascinating story that's really powerful, and it does help people on their own healing journeys.
Wow, amazing. For sure. So we have not only one, but we have like three books we're talking about here, and tomorrow, Rahima's going to be back on my show as a guest again, because there's just not enough time to, you know, get things done and accomplished here, things we're trying to make happen and stuff. The other book is Fierce Blessings and Perilous Bliss. Is that correct, Rahima?
Yeah, well, the first book is Dark Innocence, and then the second book is Fierce Blessings, and the third book is Perilous Bliss. And they are all one story, but it just took three books to tell his story the way he wanted me to tell it. So, and, you know, like I said, they're challenging. They're not, this is, in a sense, fantasy, because there are fantasy elements, but it's really for grown-ups, and there are, you know, no unicorns or dragons or any of those things. And it's really a story that draws on my experience as a psychological counselor, and also from my own healing journey and from what I learned from working with my clients. So it's really about the healing journey toward being a loving and awakened man. And
I see.
Go ahead. Yes.
Who is the Starseed Prophecy Trilogy for, would you say?
It's for adults who want something that's challenging and inspiring, but who are not afraid to look at the dark side of human nature. The book deals with severe abuse and the healing from that, and there are scenes that could be difficult for some people. They're particularly good for people who may have had some trauma or abuse in their past and are already on a healing journey of their own, and this could be inspiring for them, and it has been for some people. And I share some of that on my website, and in the, which is called the Starseers. No, the www.starseersprophecy. Seer is S-E-E-R-S, starseersprophecy.com. And there's a section in there called Healing Through Books, and it, several people talk about how they reading this story has really helped them on their own healing journey. So that's really what it's about, and at the same time, it's a fascinating story that can be very entertaining for people who are not afraid of the dark.
So Do you offer counseling to people that have issues and problems in life? And if so, how can people get in touch with you to make that happen?
Oh, well, I did for 20 years, but I did retire in 2006, so I'm not doing that anymore. But, yeah, I have 20 years' experience with that kind of work.
So you're retired now.
I'm 72, so I'm not doing that kind of work right now, except by offering my books.
Yes. So you're kicking back with your shoes on the sofa and letting life treat you well while you make a bazillion dollars with your books.
Oh, very funny. Not quite. My journey continues. I'm still exploring and growing in many ways, and spiritual and psychological. And so I'm not really sitting on the couch. And furthermore, it's not that easy to make a lot of money with books when you're an unknown author. So that part isn't happening either. But
You're being modest. I know the troubles about being a published author. As I said before, I'm a 10-time published author,
right.
And you know, everybody wants your best, and that is your money, because you have to pay to play and things like that. So,
right,
yeah, we both know what's going on here. So, did you ever, at any course of your writing experience, did you ever have a scenario where you would go, oh, that belonged in the other book as opposed to that should have went in this book?
Not so much. The main thing that happened was that after I wrote the first draft, I realized that the first about 25% or so was really backstory about the evil sorcerer and didn't really belong in the story about the main character, Kier. It was, we didn't need to know all that. So I pretty much took that out. And after that, it was pretty much, the story was very coherent. It wasn't like, you know, through planning. It's just the way it came through. And, you know, I tweaked things here and there, but I didn't do a big revision of the storyline.
Nice. Yeah, I had a couple of those things. But it was like, okay, damn it, man, I should have put that in this book. but either way, it worked.
Yeah.
So your books, Fierce Blessings and Perilous Bliss, are these different characters? Or are they the same character?
No.
Is it a journey?
It's all three books are the story of the main character, Kier. Of course, there are plenty of other characters involved. He has different friends show up after he's rescued from the evil sorcerer, and he has many experiences with them, and there is a love story involved, basically a forbidden love. It develops at a certain point, and he has many adventures to go on, some of which are very difficult, and eventually he, you know, reaches the end where he's become an enlightened person, and you know, the story ends well. I don't want to give too many details away.
I understand, the happy ever after. So Rahima, where can our listeners pick up your books? Plug that information, you know, your emails, your website, whether
okay.
it can be bought.
Sure. My books are available as ebooks on Amazon and other ebook retailers like Barnes & Noble and, you know, all the usual ones. They're listed on my website. And the print books are available through Amazon and also through Rose Press, my publisher. And my website, again, is www.starseersprophecy.com. I have a Facebook page for my books called Rahima Warren, author of The Starseer's Prophecy, is my Facebook page for my books. What else can I tell you? I think those are the main things. Where people
Perfect.
Can find my books. And, you know, If you buy the trilogy on Amazon, the whole three books cost you less than $11. So it's a pretty damn good deal.
Absolutely, absolutely. A real good deal. And so with that being said, to all of our listeners and friends and fans and followers out there, get out there and get those copies of those books. You'll be glad you did. So,
yes, you will.
In essence, your books, Fierce Blessings, Perilous Bliss, the Star Seer's Prophecy Trilogy, how long did it take you a total time from scratch to the end?
Oh, 18 years. It was really funny when I finally got the third book published. It was like all of a sudden I had empty nest syndrome for an author. All my characters I'd been living with all that time were now out in the world on their own, and I didn't get to play with them anymore. So it was a hard time actually saying goodbye. But, yeah, it took 18 years because in between that I'm dealing with, you know, family crises and my career and my marriage and, you know, all kinds of things that life brings you. And so I wasn't, you know, working every day like some authors do. It was just when I could in between everything else. That's why it took so long. But, you know, it's worth it because I put a lot of work and time and energy and creativity and editing and revising and polishing. And so they're, really well written and easy to read. They're, people call them gripping and intense and fascinating. And they say they can't put, once they start reading it, they can't put it, the books down. So, I think I did a really good job with them, and I think people will really enjoy them if they're ready for something for grown-ups. It's, you know, it's really not for children or people who are, you know, kind of straight-laced or, you know, squeamish. Not for them, but for grown-ups who want a challenging, meaningful story, that would be what these books are for. And
based upon reality, of course, yes.
Right. Well, yeah, based on psychological and spiritual reality that I have learned through my own life and through working with my clients for 20 years.
Absolutely. So it's not for the special snowflakes who live in a bubble, per se.
Yeah, well, that's one way to put it, I guess. not the way I'd say it, but, yeah, you know, it's a challenging read. There's plenty of, difficult issues that the book deals with. And I really, you know, came to me later that the purpose of my books was unknown to me when I was writing them, but when I got to it later and asked kind of to receive, why am I writing this? What's going on here? I received the answer, and I was very surprised because it said, told me that my mission was in my own life and my work as a therapist and as writing this book, all are dedicated to ending the personal and social culture, societal culture of hatred, revenge, and punishment, and evoking and calling forth an inner and outer culture of compassion, forgiveness, and healing. So that's what those books are for. And I didn't know that when I wrote them, but came through after they were all done, and I was very surprised that they had such a strong mission.
Amazing. Simply amazing. So would you say these characters in your book are based upon real life events that have been tweaked or turned around into fictitious characters to the result happen for people?
No, absolutely not. No, no, I didn't base it on, like I said, I received it, so it just came through as itself, and I didn't associate any of the characters with any people that I actually know. And, you know, they are their own, to to me, they're their own beings, but only on paper, you know. But, you know, they had the other characters had a lot of, you know, learning and growing to do also. So all of the characters in the book are on a path of healing and growth in their own different ways. And by the way, part of the magical side of the book is that there's a goddess that is kind of calling Kier, the main character, on his journey for her own purposes, which aren't revealed really until the third book. So you have to keep reading to find out what she's up to and how she is basically inviting him to help her save the world. So, and the other kind of magic that's included in the stories is some evil magic from the dark sorcerer at the beginning, and then healing magic from a woman healer that's a big part of the story. So that's where the fantasy elements are, but that's all. The rest is very realistic. And people have said also that my books are very visual because of the way I've described everything. They can really see it in their minds, and it really helps them be engaged in the story.
Nice. So, would you happen to have some of your books in front of you as we speak?
Yes, I have them right here.
Nice. And would you, for our listening audience, pick a book, any book, and open it up to any part of that book and maybe read a passage or two from that book?
Sure. I'm going to start from Dark Innocence, the first book. And let me just find the section I want to read. Okay, just a second. It'll take me a minute to find it. Okay, here it is. This is from the beginning of the book, chapter 6, and it's Kier's escape, how he escapes from the masters, or the evil sorcerer whom he called the master. And so I'll start right in here. Pain blazed through Kier's wounded body as the two big men manhandled him down into the tunnel. Desperate to keep silent, he bit his lip bloody. The two men righted the stretcher and set him on it again, setting his excoriated back afire. Taxed beyond all thought, he slid into darkness. He came to when the two big men set his stretcher down. He peered around groggily. The tunnel ended a few steps away. Silvery light flooded through the opening. Too bad it's a full moon. We'll have to keep to the shadows as much as we can, said the man that had silver hair and mild blue eyes. His companion merely nodded. The silver-haired man knelt beside the stretcher and peered at Kier. Ah, you're awake. The man lifted his head, wiped the blood off his lips with a wet rag, then held the neck of a waterskin to his lips. Kier drank as much as he could, despite the strange taste. That's enough, son. The man took the water skin away. We haven't been properly introduced. My name's Gorth, and this big hulk is Serranu. Serranu was younger, with dark blonde hair pulled back in a short queue. He remained silent as Gorth continued. We are taking you to a safe place. To get across the city, we will hide you in a secret compartment in the bottom of this cart. He gestured toward a large box with tall wheels on either side and long handles on one end, which was standing just outside the tunnel. The potion you just drank should help you sleep until we get to the safe house. If you awaken, don't panic. It will be dark, but there are air holes so you can breathe. Kier thought, sleep? Oh, God, yes. He closed his eyes, uncaring if he ever awoke. One more thing, son. No matter what, you must keep absolutely quiet. Can you do that? His chapped and bloody lips curved upward in an infinitesimal sliver of a smile. Being silent was what he was best at. All right, here we go, said Gorth. The two men lifted him off the stretcher and placed him on his side in the bottom of the cart. Agony reared its furious head again. By the time Kier had buried in his inner ice, he was locked into a small dark box, curled up on a thick pad of blankets, and covered with another. He thought, my coffin? Hopefully? Nah, a bit early. It was his last thought as the potion took effect. Serrano and Gorth pulled on dirty smocks and caps and smeared their faces and hands with dirt. Assuming slumped postures, they plodded through the dark alleyways of the city, pausing now and then to collect the most odoriferous and disgusting trash they could find. They placed it in the barrels on top of the compartment in which Kier was hidden. Sooner than they might be expected, they reached the poorer sections of the city, a jumble of mud brick buildings and winding streets, no better than the back alleys of the rich. Here, people were hurrying in every direction. Some seemed frightened and disoriented. Others were jubilantly drunk, celebrating the demise of the soul drinker and his minions, in busy arguing and shouting about the meaning and consequences of this momentous change. The two men slipped down the narrow, malodorous alleys, hauling the cart toward the north edge of town. Soon, sandy barrens and abandoned hovels replaced the clutter of mud brick buildings. Fresh air swept in from the ocean, accompanied by its restless roar. They were nearing the trash dump, though their destination was the nearby Dragonfly Inn, a hotel that had seen better days, but offered refuge to travelers who came too late to reach the city proper by nightfall. Gorth was tempted to breathe a sigh of relief, old hand that he was, but he knew better. Instead, he redoubled his alertness and so was prepared when the men on horseback surrounded them. Ha, let's see what you've got there, snarled the leader. By his arrogant bearing and elegant attire, it was evident that he was a slave of the master. The two supposed trash haulers stopped, their heads bowed. Gorth mumbled, just trash, sure. Just going on rounds like every night, sirs. Like back in the great storm, you know. We still had to go on rounds, didn't we, sirs? Almost to the dump, just away down there, sir. You, there, check that cart, the slave gestured. And one of his soldier slaves said, yes, sir, Vero, sir. The man reluctantly poked through the cans of night soil and garbage. Gods and demons, he muttered. What a disgusting stink. The slave Vero turned his attention to Serrano. And what do you have to say for yourself, big man? Serrano stared up at him wordlessly, affecting a simpleton's expression, even managing to drool a little. Gorth spoke up. Oh, sir, he don't speak. Understands but a bit, but he ain't spoke since he was a boy and his parents. Shut up, old man. There's nobody in here, said the soldier. All right, move on, the slave snapped his flail at supposed trash haulers. Gorth obligingly cringed away, muttering apologies which would have sounded more like curses if Vero had been paying any attention. As he and his soldiers galloped away, Gorth and Serrano trudged off into the night. Around the next bend in the road, Gorth paused to wipe away sweat from his brow with a dirty sleeve of his smock. Goddess bless us, that was close. They started off again and soon reached the whitewashed building. Sorry, I'm running out of voice here.
That's okay. That's a perfect stopping point. You not only have some awesome books, you have a very good voice, a very soothing and very, very adapting to be able to read to people. That was amazing. And so, Fahima, we want to get to know you as a person, not only as an amazing author. It's time for a little Lawrence J. King Q&A. So what would be your favorite color, Fahima?
I would say teal, a blue-green, definitely.
And
but then purple comes in pretty second.
And
I have my car painted purple. So now I have a purple Prius. Makes me laugh.
Nice. Good. And your favorite foods?
Let's see. Gosh, there's so many. I can't really pick one. There's too many nice ones. For a real treat, I like tiramisu. It's a creamy kind of chocolate and rum kind of confection that I really like, but can't eat very often.
What would be your favorite vacation spot, and why would you choose that?
Well, I would have to say Hawaii. It's a very more soothing and relaxing place than the Bay Area where I live. And I have some really good people over there that we get together and do meditation retreats that I really enjoy in the wonderful atmosphere of Hawaii.
Amazing. So we're going to have Rahima back tomorrow as our guest again. She's just so interesting, and her amazing books. Rahima, just plug those books one more time before we sign off the air for today. The names of the titles and where they can get those books, and we'll be back on the air tomorrow picking your brain about some more topics.
Sure. Okay, so the trilogy is called The Starseer's Prophecy. Book one is Dark Innocence. Book two is Fierce Blessings, and book three is Perilous Bliss. And they're available online at online bookstores, and especially the ebooks are available on those. And the print books are available on Amazon and at my publisher's Rose Press. And
awesome.
People can reach me for questions. They can reach me at info@starseersprophecy.com.
Perfect. And so, you'll be back on our show tomorrow so we can keep on going with this amazing, amazing interview with Rahima Warren.
All right.
And so with that said, I wish you an awesome day. Thank you for being a guest today on Book Talk Radio. I'm going to be signing off the air, and I bid you a good day, Rahima.
Okay, you too. Bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that was one interview with Rahima Warren. Tomorrow she'll be back on our show. We'll be talking about her amazing books, Fierce Blessings, Perilous Bliss, The Starseer's Prophecy Trilogy, and who she's all about, what she likes. She's a highly, highly interesting person. So get out there and get those books. It would be an amazing, amazing thing for her as well as for your own self, because these books are keeping it real kind of books. With that said, this is Lawrence J. King, your host of Book Talk Radio, signing off the air for today, and come back tomorrow. Same time, same planet, same station. Book Talk Radio. Thank you. Have a good day.